This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Inside the Archives podcast. I'm your host, Marty Rosenbaum, XRT's digital content producer and social media guy. Record stores hold a special place for us here at XRT, providing a physical outlet to celebrate music. They're also pillars of the community, binding all walks of life together by the love of one common denominator, music. When the list of releases for Record Store Day were announced earlier this week, it was only natural for us to record a podcast dedicated to our favorite day of the year. And who better to speak with about it than Ryan Arnold? I spoke with him as a certified vinyl junkie and someone who treats Record Store Day like it's Christmas about this year's releases, his Record Store Day rituals, vinyl culture, why vinyl has seen such a resurgence in the past few years, and much more. Additionally, we'll also cover the latest music news, including an opinion piece I wrote last week on the use of cell phones at concerts. This was stemmed from Jason Isbell's two fantastic shows at the Tivoli Theater in Downers Grove, where it was Isbell, an acoustic guitar, and a room full of people. A beautiful setting like that, that was prohibited by the use of cell phones, made an evening that much more memorable. So we'll talk about that, also news surrounding the Cranberries, Jack White, and what's happening here at XRT, including a few intimate concerts we have planned coming up over the next few weeks. So in the meantime, let's chat records with Ryan Arnold. Right now, we are joined by Ryan Arnold, XRT's nighttime DJ, host of New Noise at 9, and resident vinyl connoisseur. Ryan, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Marty.
So, earlier on this week, Record Store Day A is celebrating their 10th anniversary this year, which is kind of hard to believe. It still seems like a new event, but they announced a lineup of releases, and I thought, who better to bring on the show than Ryan Arnold to talk about all things Record Store Day, vinyl culture, and everything else that goes into this day. So, Ryan, how long have you been doing Record Store Day for?
I'd say the last five or so years, maybe 6 years. It kind of became an April tradition.
It is April 21st this year, and for music fans, it's almost like opening day is for baseball fans, because it's a reintroduction to a lot of great music. You have a compilation of special releases, bands releasing new material that has rarely been out before, and it marks the entryway into the summer concert season for a lot of bands to help hype that promotion as well. So you've been doing this for several years now. What does this day mean to you?
A lot of what you just said, it's kind of the reintroduction to music that maybe we haven't heard in a while. We've seen a lot of reissues or repressings, remastering of, you know, albums that are 40, 50 years old, and you know, sometimes they're albums that have been out for a while, you know, they're in wide circulation, but there's so many of them and they're so popular that you'd be hard pressed to find like a really good quality pressing of, I'm just making this up, but like Zeppelin 1. I mean,
right.
There are, whatever, 10 million of them in circulation. So to be able to have something that's either been remastered or repressed, or it's really cool to have like this is how people, you know, in 1969 first experienced this record. And now I get to as well. But what else it means to me, it's a celebration of just kind of things, you know, gone by.
I think it is something cool that you touched on, how a lot of Record Store Day is a celebration of what's old is new again. And especially in the past few years with vinyl making a resurgence, sales have continued to rise over the past several years. it does add on to that excitement of, hey, we get to experience this album all over again. And a lot of old favorites can be turned on to newer generation and newer fans as well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it's a different kind of listening as well. And, you know, as a DJ on the radio, you know, we get kind of ribbed sometimes. Oh, it must be nice to sit in a room for 4 hours and listen to music. And it's not what we do. You know, speaking for me personally, I listen differently to music when I'm on the air. And keep in mind, I'm on the air 20, 25 hours a week. I'm not listening for the art that's behind the composition. I'm listening to, you know, how's it going to sound next to two songs or between two songs. You know, that's, I'm listening to make the best radio that I can. So think of it like passive listening and the opportunity to really dig into this piece of recorded art. You know, I savor every opportunity I have because sometimes they're few and far between given the time of year. Record Store Day is one of those sacred, like I'm going to buy a release. Either it's brand new or maybe it's just new to me. It's something that's, you know, someone has turned me on to. Find this if you can. And I'm going to be able to experience the whole thing from putting the disc on my deck to, you know, looking at the artwork, reading the booklet and the liner notes and actually actively listen to this piece of music.
Right. And there's so much interaction that goes on with the record. And this day is definitely a celebration of that, from physically holding onto the record, reading the liner notes. And a lot of these releases have really cool additional features that come along with it. Photography books, stickers, you know, other little trinkets that you aren't going to normally get when you walk into a record store and pick up an album. So since you've been doing this for a couple of years now, and I've seen the interaction that we have on XRT's website and social media pages grow with Record Store Day, it's become an annual event for people. How have you seen that play out in record stores?
It's pretty cool. There are definitely people that I see once a year on Record Store Day. It's true.
Really?
It's like, oh yeah. You know, I don't get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go, you know, camp outside Valhalla or the old school records in Forest Park. But there are people who do, and I'll kind of get there at really the same time every year. And it's like, hey, it's that guy, you know, it's Giant Coffee Guy,
right?
You know, it's the dude who's got the funky hat. You know, it's cool to see those people. I don't want to say it's like a Grateful Dead concert where you're like, hey, I saw you last year. I saw you at the Cleveland show.
Yeah.
But you know, you do see a lot of, kind of familiar faces.
That's like, why do I only see you on Record Store Day? What else do you do outside of this day?
Yeah, exactly. No, you were asking kind of, you know, what does the whole day mean to me? It's not only about records. It's in celebrating, you know, vinyl. It's local. All these record stores that either formally or informally participate in Record Store Day, they're all local. They're independent. They're family owned, mom and pop. So to be able to walk in and say, I've been saving up, really, this is me talking, from like, you know, Christmas to now, to drop money, I'm putting that into some guy's store, you know, and that guy's got his kid's college education wrapped up in the success of his business. It's like, that's another part of it, man.
Yeah, and that's really cool, too, because not only are you purchasing vinyl, which is now an old school way of listening to music, but it's taking back to that whole, you know, kind of an old school approach to business where you do save up that money, you know, whether it's in a shoebox, in a piggy bank. Nowadays, it's on your phone where you can check your bank account, but you're saving up towards something. You're walking into a place where you have a direct relationship with the business owner.
Right.
And you may not know him, but by the end of your trip there, you know, you guys are going to be close friends. And you're physically purchasing, you know, a piece of art, something that you're going to carry with you for a long time. And it's really, really cool to see that interaction whenever you walk into a record store. But on Record Store Day itself, it plays out on a much larger scale.
You know, there's a joke that someone was asking, like, oh, do you know, what do you most look forward to Record Store Day? And, you know, do you wait, like, you know, however they put it? And my response was, you know, Record Store Day for a lot of us is any day that ends in Y. We don't need an excuse to go and hang out at these shops. And you're right when you say you kind of get to know some of these owners or people that work at these shops. And it's true. To be able to walk in and say, what are you into that, you know, you just got in. What are you listening to right now? I have a kind of a circuit, if you will, of three or four record stores that I visit fairly regularly just because geographically they're very convenient to me. But I have relationships with a couple of these record stores that'll call me. Hey, we've got a new whatever, you know, a Clash bootleg from 1984 came in, you know, okay, cool, thanks, because I'm stupid for the Clash. And but you're not going to get that anywhere else.
Right. And I remember seeing that play out firsthand last year for Record Store Day in 2017. You and I took a trip to Valhalla Records, and I have never met Val before that point. But you and her are clearly lifelong friends, and she certainly has her own personality. And it was such a cool experience because I remember as we were wrapping the interview up, I was putting all my camera equipment away, and Val goes, like, what kind of music you like? What do you want to listen to? And at the time, I had just listened to Fleetwood Mac's, their earlier blues works. I said, you know, Peter Green era Fleetwood Mac. She says, oh, come with me. And pulled out like three records. I'm like, this is the coolest thing ever. What the heck?
Yeah, yeah. And that's, you know, you only get that stuff when you're able to deal or interact with, you know, on that kind of organic level. It's not so much about commerce as it is about the love of music. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about being DJs at XRT. If we weren't on the radio, a lot of us would still be doing the same thing, just in a different way. Marty, if you really like the blues era, Peter Green era Fleetwood Mac, check this out.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was really cool. You know, the cherry on top was just walking home that day and, you know, having a stack of six records, I think I ended up getting. And putting them on my record player later that night, and you know, it's something you carry with you out of the store, and you get reminded of it every single time you put that on.
Reminded every single time you put it on, exactly. You know, what was that, a year ago? About a year ago, probably this time of year, and you're still talking about it. That's
right.
It exactly.
Right. Now, Record Store Day itself has evolved over time. One of the things that I like is that they bring in an artist as their ambassador every year. I think in 2018, it's Run the Jewels. Years past, they've had St. Vincent, Josh Homme. Yeah. I always get confused with his name.
Jack White from Public Enemy.
Mm-hmm. So it's gotten that appeal from an artist perspective that, hey, this is a really cool opportunity for us to showcase our work. From the earlier years of Record Store Day up until now in 2018, have you seen the quality and uniqueness of releases change over that time period where an artist may want to dig up something from their vault, want to do something cool exclusively for Record Store Day, as opposed to just say, hey, I want to re-release my first album?
I think that this is my experience, partly based on the music that I'm into. Some of the older artists or artists who have records that are 40 or so years old, re-releases are great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for what I mentioned earlier, there just aren't a lot of really clean copies of, you know, rumors floating. You can find them, but to be able to get something that's remastered or on 180-gram vinyl, you know. But some of the newer ones, last year, The War on Drugs, their Record Store Day exclusive release was like an 11.5-minute song, you know, and it was, I don't want to say a taste of what's to come, but, you know, it was the first new music that we had from The War on Drugs since like 2014 or 2015. So, you know, to answer your question, I think the newer bands, they don't really have a back catalog, you know, on which to lean and to re-release. So, yeah, we'll put something new together.
Right. And I think it gives a cool creative outlet for these bands, too, like The War on Drugs, who, as we've seen with their latest album, has totally segued into that perspective where they're jamming out.
Mm-hmm.
It can be very instrumental based, where it may not have fit on some of their previous work, but it was a foreshadowing of what was to come. And I think given the exclusivity of a lot of these releases, that could be a trend we see in the next couple of years.
Yeah, agreed. And I'm totally fine with it. It's a great way, you know, like you said, to kind of get a taste of what's to come or the foreshadowing of some new music that that artist is working on.
Right. So let's dig in a little bit to this year's lineup of releases. And I printed out a document for you that has 11 total pages. So there's a lot that we're working with for Record Store Day 2018. Earlier on today being March 7th, I posted an article on 93xrt.com with a list to the full Record Store Day listings. You can check that out. But a couple highlights that I want to read and then get Ryan's take on of his favorites are the Allman Brothers Band releasing Live at the Atlanta Pop Festival from 1970, Arcade Fire releasing their very first ever EP, titled EP, Johnny Cash is releasing at Folsom Prison 50th Anniversary Elegy Edition, Bob Dylan and the Grateful Dead releasing Dylan and the Dead, Grateful Dead releasing Fillmore West, San Francisco, California, 227-1969. The National is releasing their album Boxer in full, live from Brussels. Pink Floyd is releasing Piper at the Gates of Dawn, the mono version. Police releasing Roxanne. Prince, 1999. U2, Lights of Home. And Wilco, Live at the Troubadour, from 11-12-1996. So that's just a small list of selections.
Small?
That you'll be able to find on Record Store Day, but high quality. So, Ryan, I got to ask the obvious question then. What are you looking forward to?
The Jason Isbell and the 400 unit. It's a live recording at Twist and Shout. Looking forward to that. The Grateful Dead and Bob Dylan. Dylan the Dead. It was one of the first, one of the first Dead CDs that I bought.
Yeah.
When I first got into it. And there's a version of a tune called Joey, which is an old Dylan tune. It's about, it's Crazy Joe. I don't remember the last name, but a mobster in New York, mm-hmm. and just a story about his life and death. And you got to serve somebody, the version that they do on there. And it's just wild to think, like, the Grateful Dead is a backup band. You
right.
know? It's just pretty wild. It's,
right.
And, you know, pretty cool. They had been playing and recording Bob Dylan tunes for years, and now to be able to back them up live was pretty cool. So, you know, the Prince 1999 for sure. First Aid Kit, I got into them only about 4 years ago with the record called The Lion's Roar. And that was one of those records that was like a gut punch. Just what did I hear? I don't know that I'd ever heard harmonies like that. So they're releasing a song that is on their most recent record. But releasing a Record Store Day exclusive on that one. Steve Earle and the Dukes, live from the Continental Club. I just saw it. I don't know what like Steve Earle and the Dukes era it is, because they've, you know, reformed or toured again.
Mm.
But if it's like mid late 80s Steve Earle and the Dukes, like that's going to be that's going to be rocking. That's
yeah.
literally going to be like there's no stopping. They're going to start and just plow through, and that'll be fun.
You're getting up at 4 a.m. for that one.
I'm not getting up at 4 a.m. for that one, Marty.
maybe not you.
No, so
metaphorically,
there's my dad and I. I can't talk about what records and specifically what vinyl means to me without talking about my dad. And I'm on record as saying my dad is one of the coolest people that I personally know. And it's true. Like I remember being a kid and him showing me, here's how you handle a piece of vinyl. Here's how you cue up I remember these things.
Right.
So it's become a definitely kind of like a father-son tradition for the two of us. That being said, he ain't getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning either. But no, our tradition started or includes, you know, we go to Louis Grill in Forest Park for breakfast. And it's at the same joint you and I went to.
Yeah, yeah.
Last spring. And we start at one end of Madison Street and move east. We start at the Old School Records on Des Plaines. They've been there only, not even 6 months. They moved from their original location on Madison. But and then hit Oak Park Records and then Valhalla. And if we're not totally spent or broke by that point, we go to Dusty Groove. So it literally is just start in Forest Park and move east until you hit Ashland.
Yeah. Well, I love that blog piece that you wrote. I think it may be a couple of years old by this point, but it really shows the connection that this day brings to people and how it can, you know, unite family members, friends.
Yeah.
And it really is an event as much about the music as it is about the people.
You're totally right. To be able to walk into a record store on any day, but specifically this day, and it's full of people, and you're standing next to somebody flipping through the, you know, rock section, you know, letter C, and you're waiting to be able to flip through, but you're kind of looking over the shoulder what that guy's looking at. Oh, man, you know, if you've never heard that Creedence, you know, record, oh, you've got to have Cosmos Factory or whatever. It's just a cool interaction. And then to see how the stories or the conversations start, and you meet people again that you're never going to see again, or maybe not see until the next year, but to just have those organic interactions about music, I mean, come on.
Yeah. And it's cool too, because you're getting people coming out to record shops on Record Store Day that may otherwise not want to take a trip out there.
Right.
So you have a really interesting blend of people that are at a record store for the very first time, people that have only been a couple of times, and then seasoned veterans, you know, like yourself, that go pretty much every single week. You don't need an excuse to go to a record store. So it offers that cool blend of community. But at the same time, you know, you yourself, who has been going to record stores on Record Store Day for several years now, do you think Record Store Day's success comes from getting hardcore vinyl junkies that are willing to pay high prices for really, really rare items? Or is it from the casual fan that's going just to pick up their favorite record, pick up, you know, Taylor Swift's 1989 because they want to have it on vinyl and vinyl is cool now?
My knee-jerk response is it's the latter. You know, for the reason that I said it, like, I don't need a special reason to go to Record Store Day, and some of the Record Store Day only releases are cool and they'd be great to have, but, you know, I'm not going to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And it's no knock on Record Store Day, or it's no knock on the quality of the releases, the exclusive releases. But, you know, I think it's the latter. It's the casual or the person who's never been before. You know, the success comes from turning people on to vinyl, and it gets people into local, independent, family-owned record stores on a day where they're walking into, you know, an experience. Just, oh, this is what the buzz is about? This community, this, you know, the sound, the, I mean, you know it from walking into a record store. There's a smell to it, you know, crates of vinyl, and there's a vibe to it. And you get someone to walk in, and that's their first experience. Well, the likelihood of them coming in on a random Saturday or a random Tuesday is much greater.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that'll play an impact on how these releases get brought out moving forward. You may not see this super rare stuff, which this year's releases certainly has, but you are going to see those broad spectrum releases that do give that added hype of only being available on Record Store Day or limited edition. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, I think it's great if that's going to turn someone onto vinyl, turn someone into supporting these record stores, go for it.
Yes, I second that.
So, at the same time, and this is purely basing off of your experience, so we're not going to make any factual statements here or any grand proclamations, but some of these releases are incredibly rare. Do you observe consumers being genuine fans of the work when they're in these record stores, or do you see people that you're like, you know, this guy's just looking to snag a rare record and make a few bucks off of it?
I think that there's a couple of answers to that. The Grateful Dead, not the Dylan and the Dead, but the live, I think it's a 3 or 4 LP. I'm spacing on the date of it, but
February 27, 1969, Fillmore West.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I swear to God, I think I have that on a cassette. I think I have a tape of that show. I definitely have one of the Fillmore shows from 69.
Yeah. Well, that was released as, like, that whole run was released as a box set, I think, 10 years ago
or
something.
Yeah, it was like not 800 bucks.
Right.
You had to, I think it was only available, you had to pre-order it. I think that they were...
Right, something like 10,000 copies were available.
Yeah.
But this is just the one show, not that entire box set.
I did ask Peter, who owns the Old School Records. I'm like, yeah, you think you're going to get this? And he just looked at me like, seriously? Okay.
Well, I know we're getting off topic from my original question, but only Grateful Dead fans. He'll have to have that response for
exactly.
You know?
No, and it's true. And I think that it does kind of answer your question in that, you know, people are there people that go and buy this stuff to sell on eBay? Yeah, and they're assholes. I mean, come on, why would you pick that up with the express intent to turn it around and sell it? I mean, that's really crappy.
Yeah.
You know, if someone's, like you're saying, the Taylor Swift 1989, yeah, someone's going to buy that because they're a hardcore fan. I'm not looking to get it to add to my collection just to have.
Right. And I think, I mean, there are certain artists where, you know, like the Grateful Dead has such a dedicated fan base, no pun intended, but they have such a dedicated fan base that any type of release is automatically going to be snatched up. And I didn't get the figure count that they're releasing for the Fillmore West record, but most of these Record Store Day releases, they're only, you know, issuing less than 5,000 copies, so it's going to be a hot item to purchase regardless. And
I'm just wondering how many of those are going to make their way to Chicago, because, you know, you can put in that's going to be one of those records that every record store is going to say, I want that, but
right. They're
not going to know if they get it until a couple of days before Record Store Day. You know, I just wonder how many. It's how many are going to make their way to Chicago.
Right.
Is
I mean, there
point.
Could be some stores that have 10 copies some stores may only have one copy.
Right.
Now, knowing as many record store owners and staff members that you do, how does that process work? Do they know what records they're getting in advance? So if you call them up a week before record store day and say, hey, what do you guys have in stock? They'll be able to tell you, or does this leave it a surprise for record store owners?
The way it's been explained to me is it's a surprise. There's, you know, a wish list, quote unquote, that, you know, they place their orders and they'll get crates, you know, get their cases only a few days before, and that's when they know what they get. So record store owners can, you know, merchandise and tag them and whatnot. I do know a lot of record store owners, and I never have been tipped off to what's coming, ever.
It's a tight-lipped secret.
It is, and it should be. You know, it should be. And nobody's, you know, I can only speak for me personally. I mean, I've never asked, honestly. I've never, hey, can you tell me what's going on? But I've had record store owners say, like, and don't even ask, because I'm not even going to tell you.
Well, you know what's cool about that is this brings me back to my earlier question about getting people who are in there just to make a buck off of a rare release. That seems like a good way to combat it.
You're absolutely right. Oh, I know that this record store is going to, you know, has 10 copies of that Grateful Dead, or they've got the reissue of Courtney Barnett's, you know, debut, her EP. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Right, right. And, you know, as a record store owner, how do they view this day? Obviously, it's great for business. You're getting a lot of people coming in, shopping your stop. Even if you aren't getting anyone coming in and purchasing anything, they'll still walk out knowing what a cool experience it was and knowing that, hey, this place exists. How does that carry through for the rest of the year?
You know, I wish that I owned a record store. Well, for a lot of reasons, I wish I owned a record store so that I could answer that question. I don't know. I think it's different because you have more established stores, you know, like a Reckless that's been around and they have several locations. You know, I'm sure this day impacts them differently than it would, you know, Oak Park Records or Val's. You know, it's a different kind of thing. But regardless, what you said about it brings, you know, it's an experience or first time, you know, impression that brings people back throughout the year. I think that's common through any record store.
Mm. Yeah. And I think the cool part about this, too, is you supplement the celebration of music. A lot of stores will offer in-store performances too. So you could walk in and you get tipped off to a fantastic musician that you didn't even know existed beforehand.
Yeah.
And these types of things happen all the time. It's not like a one-time occurrence where record stores are bringing in artists. You know, some places it's pretty frequently.
Yeah. And I'm thinking about Val's Halla again. You know, she at this point has someone curate a day of music, and there might be 5, 6, 7 bands. And she's fortunate enough that Valhalla has the space for it. They really do have a stage in the front window. Smaller record stores, you know, don't have that luxury. And it's important to note that not every record store participates in quote unquote record store day, where they will receive and have available record store day only exclusives. That being said, every record store, I'm sure, will have something going on, whether it's an official record store day thing or not. They're going to have things like, you know, great deals on, you know, used pieces of vinyl. And I do want to mention, like, that is my favorite part of record store day. And you know, I mentioned earlier, like, saving up a bunch of dough from Christmas until, you know, April 20th, the day before record store day. Well, people are bringing in parts of their collection. They're bringing in pieces of vinyl to sell.
Yeah.
You know, because they're saving up for it too. So to walk in, you know, that week or the weekend before and see all this stuff that other people have come in and sold or traded, I mean, man, you can build your collection with some staples pretty easily to, you know, just because of that, because there's more product, more inventory there.
Right. I'm amazed you can hit so many stores. I would totally get lost in a flea market setting like that and walk in at 9 a.m. and be like, how did it get to be 4 p.m. already?
Well, there is that. Well, I'm happy to tell you what my process is.
Yeah, well, let's go through that. Okay. And then, you know, I want you to give some tips, too, for people that are listening that are on the edge about going to record store day. You know, just some stuff to take them through the day. So, you know, let us know your processes and then tips that you can offer people participating in record store day for the first time.
So the first is just a tip that's kind of anytime you go to a record store, and that's have a list. And I do have a running list of stuff that I'm looking for. If it's building out you know, Allman Brothers, that's a, I don't have a lot of Allman Brothers on vinyl. I have, you know, and I want to build that out. So I've kind of have this running list of Allman Brothers band records that I'm looking for. Have a list of what you're looking for and go in and kind of stick to that list. It is really easy to be overwhelmed by, you know, 15,000 pieces of vinyl in like a section, you know? So kind of have an idea of what you're looking for. The other thing specific to Record Store Day, just know you're not going to get or see everything that you're looking for, and don't be bummed about it. Like, just go in with the expectation that, like, I'm here. It's not just about picking up a piece of vinyl or picking up a couple of records. It's about the whole experience of the day. And just kind of going with that expectation in mind. Just enjoy it. What happens, happens.
Right.
But those are my two. Have a list and go in totally whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
Going with that mentality.
Yeah. And that's always a great joy of shopping at a record store. You'll walk out with music you are unsure of, maybe picked up for a couple bucks that you got on a recommendation, maybe just liked the album art. But that's half the fun.
You're
not going to go home and like it all the time, but you know what? It's an experiment worth participating in.
You're totally right. And I guess, I'll add to the list is ask, what are you into? You know, ask the record store, you know, you see somebody flipping through, oh, that's a Rolling Stones record that I don't know about. I never had. Another vinyl junkie just walked by and Marty Leonard's looked in, wondering what we were doing. No, ask, what are you into? What have you heard? Oh, I've never heard that Stones record before. What is it? Or I've never heard that artist from, you know, the UK. Who are they? That's a great way to pick things up too. But you're right. You'll pick some stuff up for a couple of bucks. I mean, that was a total miss. The coolest part is you can pay it forward.
Right.
You can say, you know, wasn't my bag, but here you go.
Right.
Give
exactly.
it to a friend.
So let's take a step back from Record Store Day and look at vinyl culture, and touching on something that you just mentioned, that you can just ask people. I think unfairly record stores can get the stereotype of the employees being holier than thou when it comes to the music selection, that they know so much that it can be so intimidating for someone to come in and ask what they think is a very basic question. But what would you say to people to help massage those fears?
No ask, no get. You know, when you go into a record store, again, go in with just kind of the whatever happens, happens. Ask somebody. And if they're kind of a jerk to you, well, they're a jerk. You know, fine. Then, go somewhere else or ask somebody else.
Right. It's anywhere in the world.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, that's it. Exactly. But by the same token, there aren't a whole lot of record stores around. And keep in mind, these are businesses, and they're small businesses, and they're not idiots. The owners are in business. They know they want to keep, you know, customers happy, help them out. If they're, you know, if one particular record store doesn't have what they're looking for, they'll help them find something that might satisfy that itch that they're going for. You know, they don't have, you know, whatever, this particular John Coltrane record, but oh, you might want to check out Charlie Parker, you know, something
right,
like that.
Right.
Yeah, that's just, I think that the film High Fidelity is great, but my experience is the Jack Black character, you know, Barry.
Yep.
That's not the norm.
Few and far between.
Yeah. You know, versus, there's a guy at Valhalla that, hey, I'm looking for this. And he loves the question.
Yeah.
And his eyes get, yes, we have this, and you know what I mean? And
yeah.
This is just that genuine, let me tell you more.
Well, and that's such a cool part about a lot of record stores is these, you know, record store owners, people that work at the shop, take it as almost a challenge to be like, all right, how can I find this person the coolest material? So they're going to walk home, you know, they're going to go home, listen to it, and be totally blown away.
Right.
Come back next week and be like, man, that was awesome.
Right.
Yeah. So, seeing that vinyl has gotten so popular in the past couple of years, I mean, sales have been continuing to increase over the past decade. What do you think it is about vinyl culture that draws people in?
Is that it is a community. You know, we are a community. We talked about Record Store Day just kind of being this introduction, which is a springboard. It's not just a springboard into like the vinyl culture, but, you know, there are people who are really into high-end audio. There are people who are really into, source materials, things like that. Basically meaning like, you get kicked off into, or get hip to, reel to reel. Mm-hmm. You know, being able to find recordings of something on, you know, on reels, and that's a whole other culture too. I'm not an audiophile in that I can tell the difference between a rig that's been set up with gold tip banana plug. You know what? I'm not.
Right.
But I know what sounds good to me.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
But just being introduced to other communities by way of, you know, record stores.
Yeah, and that's a great way to put it too, because once you fall into the vinyl rabbit hole, it's such an exciting adventure because you're continually linked and put on to new things. So you're not entering a hobby where it's so linear, where it's, you know, here's point A, here's point B, here's point C.
Right.
You don't know where it's going to take you.
Right.
And it's exciting.
Yeah. The community part, that something that I tried to get into the audiophile community, but I, one, don't have the money. Two, you know, I don't have I guess I don't have the need. You know, people talk about speakers. Oh, you can spend whatever you want to spend on anything, but, you know, audio gear is, jeez, I mean, it's nuts. There's this, it's called Expona. It's the Audio Exhibition of North America. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's the same weekend as Record Store Day this year, but it was last year. And this is the place where it's like, here's the $400,000, you know, setup, and you sit down and you listen to like a classical piece or whatever they're playing, and you swear to God you're sitting at, you know, the CSO.
Right.
It's tremendous, but you're also like, I wouldn't, you know, it's just not feasible for me. But what did become feasible for me were headphones. You know, just to be able to listen to, you know, through a good set of headphones, you know, you can hear music like you've never heard it before.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's an example of how, you know, I found that through record stores. You know, I found that through being able to say, oh, this sounds really good. Oh, you should try hearing it through this, or, you know, try these headphones, and this is difference between closed back, and this is the difference between
right.
reference, you know what I mean?
Right.
But yeah, that's just an example of how you don't know where the one community is gonna lead you.
Yeah, and it's not always trying to find the biggest thing. You're not trying to find that biggest sound, the most explosive experience. You want something that sounds great, that's quality. And if you're taking, like, you know, like Jason Isbell, who just did two nights at the Tivoli in Downers Grove, it was just him and an acoustic guitar. There's so many recordings out there like that you don't want something to blow your mind or to make you fling back from your chair the second you hit play. You want something that's going to be crisp, clean, and make you feel like, all right, I stepped in the room with this artist and we're listening to their music.
One of my favorite things about Record Store Day is that you see a lot of live recordings. You know, you mentioned Jason Isbell playing a solo, you know, two solo shows at the Tivoli. I mean, interacting with XRT listeners after those shows, I mean, man, people were crying, you mm-hmm. know, it was, which is not surprising. I mean, Jason Isbell's a masterful guitar. He's a great storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to talk about being like in an intimate setting, like it's like you're on stage with the guy. So being able to hear live recordings of some of these bands, especially the bands we'll never get a chance to see, you know, certainly the Grateful Dead, but like didn't Fleetwood Mac, I know they had a live one, they had a live recording, I don't know, I might be wrong on that, but like Fleetwood Mac is an example, like we're never going to hear, you know, that late 70s Fleetwood Mac sound again,
right.
You know, and here it is in pristine.
Now here's a hot take. That's going to completely contradict what you just said. I'm not a fan of live recordings on vinyl.
Okay.
Not for... I appreciate the rarity and the fact that you can capture this really unique moment in a band's history, I think is cool. I'm just not a fan of having to get up, turn the record over, and go back and, you know, 25, 30 minutes later, having to repeat the whole thing. If I'm listening to a live recording, I want to get lost in its entirety, sit back, not have to get up, because every time I have a couple of live albums and it's going great, then you hear the scratch, you know, record's over, flip me over, and it takes a little while to get back into the groove of things. Like I said, the recordings are great. I think it's really cool that it captures that era of a band, but just getting the overall flow of a live show, that doesn't do it for me.
Then you, my friend, need a second turntable. No, I'm serious. Like Allman Brothers, I think it's Eat a Peach. If you look at pick up the first record, side one, flip it over, it's side four.
Mm.
Second record, side two, Other side is side, or pardon me, it's 1 and 3, 2 and 4.
2 and 4.
So that you can literally go from one record to the next seamlessly.
See, this is why you're here, to educate me. I'm a young, naive millennial that deserves to be yelled at.
So you have at it. No, you do not deserve to be yelled at. Stop that. No, you're getting into it, and that's the coolest part. You're getting into it, man.
Yeah, I mean, it is such a cool way to, you know, experience music. And the live stuff, I personally enjoy live material than studio material. I think it brings the most out of musicians. So I will have to look into getting a second turntable, because as of right now, I just have one. And, you know, a lot of times I'm cooking dinner, put on a record, and hear it stop, and it's like, oh, it's just getting into it.
And I don't know how feasible it is to have two decks, you know, hooked. I mean, I don't have two decks either. It's just not feasible nor necessary.
Totally want to nerd out, though. It's appropriate.
Yeah, it totally is. I'm telling you, though, if you live in an apartment, I do. Mm. I have some great speakers. I'm never going to crank them, you know, but... spending some money on headphones,
yeah,
that's, you should consider that.
No, I'm in the same thing where I'm right smack dab in the middle between, you know, two people live on the other side of me, so I can't crank up speakers. I can't crank up speakers loud.
Right.
So a great pair of headphones makes a world of difference. And I think the cool part about that too is you can just sit there and it's right up against you. You're not having to fill the entire room because everyone's room is laid out differently. You could have a $10,000 pair of speakers that sounds great when you're at the audio shop, but you take it home and you have a big expansive living room. You're like, wait a minute, this doesn't sound like it did at the store.
Right. No, everything you said is right. And that's, I mean, what a bummer to be like, I've dropped, you know, $1,200 on a pair of speakers and go, wow, these sound awful.
Yeah. Such a defeating feeling.
It is.
Well, Record Store Day coming up about 6 weeks from today. We will have plenty of coverage. I know Ryan already talks about it on his own. It's great. I don't even have to ask him to do anything. I wake up in the morning and say, oh, look, Ryan talked about Record Store Day. Fantastic. So if you haven't followed Ryan on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, you're Ryan Arnold Rocks on Twitter and Instagram, right?
And Facebook.
And yeah. Facebook. All three. Keeps it consistent. So give him a follow for all things Record Store Day and all things vinyl. It's a great source throughout the entire year. If you want to get plugged into that world, see what's happening, or just get more knowledge about the vinyl scene here in Chicago. He's a great follow. And we'll have some stuff planned up our sleeve for Record Store Day. Not exactly going to reveal what it is. I don't know if Ryan even knows what it is yet, if I've broke that news in, but we'll collaborate on it.
I ain't saying nothing.
Yeah. It's tight-lipped secret seems to be the theme of the show today.
Yeah. That's something that I think a lot of XRT listeners know and certainly appreciate is with a lot of the DJs, it's Record Store Day is any day that ends in Y. You know, we just celebrate it. It's a part of our lives. It's a part of our air shifts. You know, when you have something that's only released on a B side of a whatever, well, that'd be pretty cool to play. Let's play that.
Yeah, and we still queue up vinyls here at XRT. I mean, we had the All Vinyl Saturday a couple weeks ago. We've done it three times now.
Yeah, we've done it a few times, and it's been Marty Leonard's, Frank E. Lee, and I. And it's no joke. We agonize over it. And our program director, Greg Sulk, is definitely the quarterback. And we did something differently last time, which is we did all album sides on vinyl, which
right.
As someone who had to haul like 45 records in a milk crate from my house and into the radio station, I really appreciate it only having to haul about 10.
Yeah. Certainly makes your job a lot easier.
Oh, it does.
Yeah. Well, Ryan, thanks again for hopping on the podcast today. And like I said earlier, be sure to give him a follow on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and follow XRT for that matter, so you can find out more information on all things Record Store Day and find out more information about Inside the Archives podcast as we continue to go through this endeavor. And Ryan, great speaking with you. Thanks so much for taking time out, and looking forward to your Record Store Day material.
Thanks. Looking forward to it too, Marty.
Thanks again to Ryan Arnold for joining us here on Inside the Archives. It has been a quieter few weeks in the music world, but that doesn't mean that things aren't happening. And we'll continue with our vinyl theme with news about who else than Jack White. He announced he'll be throwing advanced listening parties of his upcoming album Boarding House Reach today. Well, today if you're listening to this on March 9th at independent record stores around the globe. The album itself isn't due out until March 23rd, but White wants to get people supporting local business by throwing these listening parties at independent record stores around the world. Aside from hearing the album in advance 2 weeks before it's released, you'll be able to grab a Jack White button while supplies last and enter to win a Jack White tote bag, as well as a single-sided tricolor 7-inch of his new single, Over and Over and Over. The other big news to come out this week comes from the Cranberries, who announced they'll be releasing a new album on top of reissuing their debut album, Everybody Else Is Doing It, So Why Can't We, in celebration of that album's 25th anniversary. Dolores O'Riordan's passing did not impede any progress that was going to be made on this record. Apparently, she recorded her vocals for the new album prior to her untimely death earlier this year. The band is hoping that they'll release the new album early in 2019. In the meantime, the reissue of their debut record should come out in 2018. I also wrote a piece on 93XRT.com last week reacting to the no cell phone policy during Jason Isbell shows at the Tivoli Theater. And for me, that setting, it was perfect. The entire show was just Isbell as well as an acoustic guitar. And in my opinion, the bright glare of a cell phone would have totally ruined that environment. In between songs, he told elaborate stories, both serious and joking manner. I mean, the guy's a charmer, so it is great to hear him talk in between his songs, but having a glare of a cell phone, totally inappropriate in that setting, and I'm really glad that that policy was enacted. However, I don't believe that should be the case at all concerts. There is a time and a place for cell phones at shows, as long as you're not impeding on other concertgoers' enjoyment of the show. By all means, snap a few photos, take a quick video. The price of concert tickets has continued to rise in recent years, and people may no longer be able to attend concerts with the frequency that they did in the past. That makes each concert that much more special, and I have no problem with people grabbing photos to share with their friends, family members, or on social media. I'm going to use a piece of advice an old coworker gave me regarding the use of cell phones at concerts, and really just life in general. Read the room, dude. So, if people around you aren't using their cell phones to take photos and videos, you know, don't hold it up. Don't hold it up for a lengthy period of time that's going to create a distraction from what's happening on stage. But if you do want to take a few photos, by all means, go for it. Just be respectful of those around you. Before we wrap things up here on Inside the Archives, let's take a look at what's happening on XRT. We've got several fantastic intimate performances coming up over the next few weeks that you can get in on. On March 13th, you'll be able to watch a live webcast with Lucius on 93XRT.com. They'll be performing at 1:30 p.m. on XRT's Blue Cross Blue Shield performance stage. So if you want to watch that, head on over to 93XRT.com beginning at 1:30 p.m. March 13th. You can also join us at the Cubby Bear on March 16th for an XRT Coors Light free sample concert featuring Company of Thieves. Admission to the show is first come, first serve, but you can get guaranteed entry right now on 93XRT.com. Just head on over to our giveaways page and enter for your chance to get guaranteed entry to see Company of Thieves at the Cubby Bear on March 16th. Doors for the show will open at 8:30 p.m. and Company of Thieves will go on at 10 p.m. You must be 21 and older in order to attend. Finally, Brett Denon will be performing a Live from Studio X session at a secret Chicago location this Thursday, March 15th. You can enter for your chance to score a pair of tickets right now at 93XRT.com on our giveaways page. Well, that's all we have for today. Thank you so much for listening, and thanks again to Ryan Arnold for stopping by and chatting with us here on Inside the Archives. If you haven't done so, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review on whatever podcasting service you're using, whether that's iTunes, Stitcher, or any other network you're listening to consume this podcast. I really appreciate the reviews and the feedback that you've given so far, and have a couple of great episodes lined up in the near future that I know you will be entertained by and that you'll dig as well. So for 93XRT and Inside the Archives, I'm Marty Rosenbaum.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.